and gentlemen, welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate, upcoming FanDuel, DraftKings, MLB, DFS. It is Tuesday, May 15th. Hope everything is going well for you and yours. We have a full slate tonight, a full 14-game slate coming on right now. So plenty of pitching. Even more bats. The bats are ridiculous tonight. Weather to be concerned about, of course. Last night we had a little bit of weather to worry about as well. Worked out in some of those spots. Don't worry about it. But a lot to think about tonight with this many sticks, this many arms on the slate. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I've got upwards of 6-8 options on potential bats that you can get involved in. At least 5 pitchers. So we got a lot to talk about. There's a whole lot of content to break down. I'll go game by game. I'll talk you through pitchers, Vegas, etc. And then we'll jump into a player breakdown exactly. Get specific about who you may want to have in your player pool this evening. So let's not waste any time. We'll go straight into it and take a look at tonight. All right. First game of the night. Now, just to be clear, this Rockies-Padres game is a matinee, so it will not be on the main slate. But Phillies-Orioles, 9.5 runs here. Nick Pivetta, Andrew Cashner, and the rain. This one is This one's got bad, which is annoying because I love the Phillies, but this one has some bad rain situation. We've got a 50% chance starting at 7 p.m. It gets up to 80% at 8, so you're definitely going to get a delay at some point, hopefully not postponed. But the whole East Coast, Northeastern corridor is getting rain. So you're going to see this weather in Baltimore, Washington, obviously, as well. So not exactly ideal, but we're not pitching Pivetta or Cashner in this situation. But we were interested in the Phillies bats. It's a 9.5 run total. They're implied for nearly 5 runs against Cashner, 4.5 for the O's against Pivetta, which is a pretty nice number as well. Unfortunately, you just kind of have to play with that weather. And so if we get a better outcome, then maybe the Phillies are in play, but we'll have to keep an eye on the forecast. Chicago will be going back to Pittsburgh. We just saw the series in guaranteed rate. It was actually pretty productive. 8.5 runs. Ronaldo Lopez versus Trevor Williams. 4.5 for the Pirates, 3.8 for the Sox. They are road dogs here versus Williams. Just so you're aware, Lopez pitched this game last time and pitched very well. 2 earned across 7 innings, got through it. You know, he's not exactly been a great pitcher, but he pitched very well. Trevor Williams on the other way, not quite. Did not pitch very well against the White Sox. Lasted 5 innings, allowed 9 base runners and 2 dingers. So not a very good outing for Williams last time here, but he is still the home favorite against Lopez, the righty here. So a little bit of rain in the forecast, not a ton, but I don't know necessarily that you were pitching either of these guys. The numbers are too inconsistent to feel like you have a confident read. And even corresponding with, you know, the opponent, the numbers on the White Sox and the Pirates are inconsistent. So it's hard to get a good read on exactly what the situation is there. So this game, I don't know how much love I have for it. Yankees Nationals, 8.5 runs here in Washington, 4.3 for the Yanks, 4.1 for the Nats. Gio versus Tanaka. Tanaka is the road favorite here. This game would be fun to watch, but from a fantasy perspective, I don't know how comfortable I am with it. And there's a couple things here. One, rain gets worse as the game goes along. It tops out at about a 70% chance of precipitation around 9 o'clock. Starting, you know, obviously a 50-60% chance around 7. So not good for the weather, same as Baltimore, right? you know, if we starts to get better, great, but it doesn't look very good right now. That whole system that was over the Midwest now moving into the Northeast. Gio and Tanaka, each one of them is going to give up a homer. I mean, with this is kind of, we know somebody's going to give up a home run here. And so I think if you're approaching this, with a hope that you can find that home run. You know, on the Nats side of things, obviously, you know, you take a look at Harper, Adams, they've been hitting very, very well. And, you know, they have the handedness advantage there. And on the opposite side, Judge Stanton Sanchez, nothing to sniff at there against Gio. So I think it's an interesting spot for some potential home run, try and predict some home run bats. You're going to pay for them. I don't know necessarily that I would stack them because I do think that, you know, this is a situation where I do think you have Vegas has it probably right. You're probably going to see 4 or 5 runs, you know, maybe 1 or 2 home runs per side. So I don't know that I'm stacking, especially with the potential delay postponement concerns. We know the Nationals, their weather team is very strange. And if there's lightning in the area, then, you know, then you really have a situation. And that applies for Baltimore as well. Dodgers Marlins, 8 runs down in Miami. Alex Wood, Wei-Yin Chen. Dodgers are road favorites here by about a whole run, 4.5 for them, 3.4 for the Fish. Wood, I want to like him, you know, I want to like him here. I just don't know how many innings he's going to pitch. I mean, he had 5, right? That's kind of what he does. No more, no less. And you know, how many strikeouts can you get in 5 innings? Well, against the Marlins, against lefties, let's double check that. Yeah, I mean, you can get plenty of strikeouts. It's 20% K rate, 20th in the league right now in WRC plus. You can get a lot of K's against this team, but I don't know. You know, I like Alex Wood. The profile is good. Do I want a Dodgers pitcher who only pitches 5 innings in DFS? Maybe not. You have to be careful about those kinds of things. I do like the Dodgers bats here, though. Against Chen, you're going to get a nice platoon, you know, change. You're going to get Taylor in a good spot, Hernandez in a good spot. Justin Turner might be returning to the lineup, too. Something to keep an eye on. Just saw him pop up in the lineup. So if we see him slated to return, that could be great. But we'll see. Not gonna count our chickens there before they hatch. Oakland versus Boston. This series continues. Hey, Porcello, the hard contact got to him. What did I tell you guys? I was telling you it's a thing. He gets the hard contact going, and it's a slippery slope there, Mr. Rick Porcello. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those reads. You have to kind of know some of these pitchers and when they're, you know, their tendencies are coming out. Oakland, Boston, 9.5 runs. Mengden, terrible name. Daniel Mengden versus Erod. Boston implied for 5.4. It jumped. It was 5.2. It's 5.4 now. I think it even opened maybe at 5. So it's really jumping. People like the Sox to get after them. Now, you know, this team hits righties. We know they're smashing righties. On the opposite side, Oakland versus Erod as a lefty. Yes. I like the Oakland in a lot of situations. This is a great split for Marcus Semien. You're going to get Chad Pinder as a cheapie at the top of the lineup. You will never hear me say, don't play the Oakland Athletics, because 1 through 6 have the, but 1 through 7 with Kanha now at 7 hole can leave the yard. And they have the ability. I mean, they have the ability to string together runs. They're always one of those teams that I like to stack. They're definitely in play. That said, this one is almost a guaranteed delay. Hopefully it will play because the rain will let up as the night goes on, but almost 100% chance of rain starting at 6 and 7 p.m., so that's not good. If it starts raining earlier in the day, you could get a situation where the field is flooded. Who knows, right? Very difficult to anticipate how this one is going to be handled. And it is definitely the most likely to be a delay, of all of those East Coast games. So not a lot of fun there. Blue Jays Mets, strangely enough, it seems like Queens will avoid some of this East Coast rain. So the Mets, even though there's a little bit of rain in the area, it doesn't look like it's going to be that bad. Of course, that could change. The winds could change. 7.5 runs with Syndergaard on the mound and Jaime Garcia opposite him for the Jays. 4.2 runs implied for the Mets. 3.2 for the Jays. Mets are bad against lefties right now, and this team is just up and down and up, and they're not good against lefties. So, you know, obviously you have Wilmer Flores every time, you know, you want to do that. You have Juan Lagares there. You can play those guys. That's fine. It's cheapies. But it's I don't know necessarily that we are stacking the Mets or if we're doing anything except for playing Syndergaard here. That's where I'm at with this game. Yeah. Cleveland-Detroit, 9.5 runs in Detroit. This game was a little bit underwhelming, honestly, last night. Tomlin, Liriano tonight. Cleveland implied for 5 runs here versus Frank Liriano, and Detroit implied for 4.3. They are home dogs once again versus Tomlin. Even though Tomlin has been bad, and we saw a couple guys get the ball out, this Nico Goodrum guy, I mean, what the heck, double dong Goodrum, craziness. You know, who was on Goodrum? Was anybody? Man had 50 fantasy points last night, double dong. So I, you know, whatever. That's MLB DFS, which makes it fun. I don't know if I'm going to go back to him tonight, but Tomlin certainly would be the one that I would think would have hit him, or excuse me, that he would have hit based on his numbers. They've been terrible. He's been letting the ball sail on him. So you can definitely get into some Tigers bats here if you want to. But I'm, of course, interested in the Cleveland Indians here versus Frank Liriano. He's been struggling this year. 5.1 runs. Good. Vegas likes him, so good vote of confidence there. Cubs-Braves, 8.5 runs here. Darvish, Fultonevich, two pitchers that absolutely could strike out everybody or just absolutely, completely, and wholly implode. I have no idea. These are just, you're playing with fire. And it's not worth pitching them against either of these offenses, to be honest with you. Now, if you want to bet on the implosion, then I think that's kind of fun. You get the lefties from Atlanta against Darvish, and then you get the lefties on the Cubs here versus Fulte. Maybe you mix and match and just kind of wait for one of these guys to just absolutely lose it. However, rain in the area that gets worse as the night goes along starts at 25%, and then it gets up to 50. So keep an eye on the forecast in Atlanta. St. Louis, Minnesota, 9 runs here. Jack Flaherty versus Jose Berrios. I'm not sure why I pronounced that so poorly. Do apologize. Berrios here in this situation is the home favorite by just a touch. A nice evening in Minnesota after some wonky weather last night. We'll have a nice night there. 9 runs here, 4.6 for the Twins, 4.3 for the Cards, thereabouts. I'm interested. I'm interested in the Twins side of this, specifically against Flaherty. He's got a little bit of, he's been throwing the ball hard, generating some whiffs, but also allowing some hard contact. Rays Royals, 9 runs. Anthony Banda, the bands will make her dance in Kansas City. Ian Kennedy. If any broadcasting teams are hiring, you just guys just pass my name along, right? That's the kind of high quality content they're going to get. Anthony Banda versus Ian Kennedy, and this is a push because Vegas is like, fuck this, we don't want to decide. Don't blame them. You could absolutely go with the Royals. Righties, sure. Yeah, Whit Merrifield, Sal Perez, no doubt. Rays didn't work out last night. I thought they would be a nice little salary filler, but they had this one crazy play by Echeverria that was actually, that actually is worth watching. Look it up. He completely blows through a stop sign at third base. And I was watching the game before I turned on Rockets Warriors. It was on ESPN. And he blows through a stop sign at third base and gets to the plate. The throw is there. Sal Perez, like, 100% should have made the tag. Echeverria just dips him to the outside, and he misses him by, you know, an inch. And so he meets him back at the plate. He, you know, flops around, turns around. He tries to meet him back at the plate, tag his hand as he reaches for the plate. Well, Echeverria reaches with his right hand, and Sal goes for his right hand, but both of them are short. Echeverria is short of the plate. Sal Perez is on the plate, so he doesn't get him there. So Echeverria comes in with his left hand and sneaks in and just taps the plate and then gets out. It was special. And the whole time, Wilson Ramos is standing there going, what the fuck is going on? And just watching. He's just literally in the frame, like 2 feet away, and just watching the whole play. Because, I mean, obviously, as a catcher, he has a vested interest in this. He's laughing at Echeverria and Perez. It was a great play. Worth watching. The third base coach was probably like, you fucking idiot. But a whole lot of fun there. Who needs to watch it? I just narrated it for you, right? Oh, great radio. Milwaukee, Arizona. 8 runs in the desert. Julius Chacin. The ghost, Spanish for the ghost. I'm not sure if you guys know that. Who it's not. Zach Greinke, 4.5 runs for the Diamondbacks, 3.5 for the Brewers. And like clockwork, AJ Pollock is hurt. So what else is new? Pollock is hurt. So you're going to see a lineup shakeup here for the Diamondbacks. Obviously Steven Souza back in the lineup, but it looks like Chris Owings is going to be forced up into there somewhere. Goldie still not quite getting it done. Chacin's been bad, but I tried to go all in on him in Colorado and nothing happened. So I don't know how much I want to go to the Diamondbacks here, you know. Greinke, yes. Yep. Interested. We know what we're going to get. Astros Angels, 8 runs in LA. Garrett Cole. Jaime Barria. 4.6 for the Astros, 3.3 for the A's. Garrett Cole, obviously cooking. Boom, pick it up a notch. Emeril Lagasse, Diners, Drives, and Dives. Garrett Cole. Yeah, I'm interested. This team, like I said, guys, there's two people hitting right-handers, and it's Justin Upton and it's Mike Trout. And everybody else is capable of striking out. They have plate discipline. Great, they take walks. Okay, fine. But when you get a good pitcher, he has a ceiling against this team. Garrett Cole, most expensive pitcher on the slate. Interested, though. Mike Minor will take on Mike Leek in the Battle of the Mikes in Seattle. 8.5 runs, 4.4 for the home team, the Mariners, 4.0 for the visiting Rangers. So Mike Leek, the home favorite, he's been pitching well. He gets a good matchup with Texas. And by pitching well, I mean like pitching well for a guy who doesn't have it, right? Like who just like he's keeping his job. Is that a good way to say this? He's keeping his job. You know, it's the numbers on Leek are always completely and wholly underwhelming. But so are the numbers on the Rangers. Like they're not good right now, and they swing at everything. So Leek certainly an interesting option here for us. He's super cheap. I'm also interested in the Mariners bats. Did not work last night, but lefty Mike Minor getting shelled, a lot of hard contact. I think we could get there. Reds Giants, this was the game, you guys. This was the game. It had a lot of runs. It was good. There was lots of points scoring, etc. What with the points and the gnashing of teeth. Giants Reds, 8 runs. 4 runs for the Giants, 3.8 for the Reds. Well, they're 4.1, 3.8-ish. Tyler Mahle versus Ty Blatch, the battle of the ties, the battle of the Tylers. I'm interested in this game again. I mean, it just two teams that have bats that are capable against, you know, two pitchers that are kind of mediocre. And so I think this is a game that kind of seems ugly and overlooked. And last night it produced 18 runs. So, I could get into that again, you know, just as a differentiator. All right, let's talk arms. We got plenty to talk about, and let's start with the pricey ones at the top of the slate. And then we'll get you guys some stacks as well that you may want to be interested in, invested in. Let's take a look at who we love. Who do you love? All right. Sorry for that awkward pause earlier. Start with Garrett Cole. There it is. Okay. Also for that awkward pause. Garrett Cole currently rocking the 41% strikeout rate and a 16% swinging strike rate. You heard that right. Not kidding. 35% K to walk ratio. His K to walk ratio is probably 2 times, maybe 3 to 4 times higher than some of the gentlemen on this slate. It's actually 35 times higher than Wade Chen, who is a negative K to walk ratio right now. I mean, holy shit, right? Like 45% fly ball rate, 34% hard contact, 2.0 Sierra. So, you know, it's real. The Babbitt at 257 is not too crazy. I don't know what you want me to, like, this guy is a monster right now. Monster. He has had every single start is a quality start. He has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 outings with double-digit strikeouts. He recently struck out 16 Arizona Diamondbacks in a an absolute complete shutout, dominant performance. And so now Mr. Cole is going to get the Angels. Now, the Angels are the one team that kind of showed a little tenacity here. Last time out, he pitched against the Angels 7 innings, 8 Ks, 2 earned runs in that stretch. Sure, they're disciplined. Absolutely. They have the capability to, you know, lower a pitcher's, you know, strikeout ceiling there versus right-handers. Right now, they're currently third in the league in WRC+, 20% strikeout rate, 8% walk rate. They are a 330 wOBA. We know that they have individual talent. I mean, but just last night, we saw this. You know, McCullers had a really nice game against them, and they just weren't able to generate that many runs. So I don't think you should be scared away from Gerrit Cole because of the Angels. I do think, though, that they limit his ceiling, which is annoying. That's really what it is. Like, they limit his ceiling, and that makes me mad because you could get a 60-point performance. They're just not going to swing enough to give you that, right? So that's kind of obnoxious. That said, and if you compare him to Greinke and Syndergaard, who might be in better situations for generating more whiffs, then you kind of start to say, okay. But, I mean, the man's striking out 40% of batters. Like, it's inexplicable. It's unbelievable. You're watching a guy at his best right now, so don't necessarily, it's working. It's real. He's been doing it for now almost 2 full months. Don't question it. When you have a guy this talented, you might want to just play him and just say, this is the most talented person on the slate right now. So let's go there. Let's go to there. But Zach Greinke, man, Mr. Consistency, I said this last week. What you see is what you get, and what you are getting is a 27% strikeout rate, a 3% walk rate, a guy whose fly ball rate, ground ball rate, hard contact are all in line with what we expect, adding up to a very reasonable 291 BABIP and a 3.0 Sierra. Everything is there. We know what we're getting from Zach Greinke. It's really nice to have him on slate because, frankly, he's just so damn predictable. we have had, just last time out, 6 Ks, 7 innings, quality start, great. You know, I mean, that's what you want from Zach Greinke, and that was against the Nationals. Enter the Brewers. The Brewers, as a team, striking out a whole lot, especially, you know, we know that they have the power, but against right-handers right now, the Brewers are rocking a 25% K rate, 19th in WRC+. That's about what we expect. So zero issue going to Greinke here. I think you could very easily get that solid 6 innings, 7 Ks, 1 earned type start from him. Boom. You lock that in for 40 points and you feel comfortable with it. And, you know, specifically, I mean, you in cash games, I think that there's something to be said for some degree of predictability from your pitcher, especially when he's only 9.5K. You know, that is really pleasant. I mean, he's had, you know, in this season, he has had 2 performances over 40. That's great. 3 over 40 or more. And then 1, 2, 3 performances 30 or greater, and 1 or 29, right? But he's also pitched against some tough teams. 2 outings against the Dodgers, an outing against Washington, an outing against Houston. You know, I think we know the numbers are exactly real. Like, it's really nice with Greinke because what you see is what you get. I'm not going to keep saying that. Noah Syndergaard, though, very interesting as well. 3.2 runs for the Jays. And one of the things, I'm not surprised you know this, Jays are striking out a lot, gang. Whole lot of strikeouts in this Toronto lineup. 24% K rate. They are ranked 14th in WRC plus right now, but yikes. I mean, you know, tons of swings and misses for this team. And there is Syndergaard sitting very similarly in the numbers buckets to Zach Greinke, except for one. And I'll let you see if you can figure out which number it is that's different. 27% K rate, 14% swing strike rate, 5% walk rate, 46% ground ball rate, 28% fly ball rate, 24% hard contact, Sierra 3.1. Oh, did you notice that his hard contact rate is significantly lower than Greinke's? Well, then you noticed the right thing. Yep, so that is what it is. It is 25% hard contact rate. You compare that to Greinke's, what is, 35%? 35% hard contact for Greinke later. 40%, excuse me, it's up to 40%. Career is like 35. But yeah, I mean, Syndergaard is doing great stuff. And he gets a team in Toronto that is clearly willing to swing in the same rate that Milwaukee is. Very similar profile. I think you get a very potentially very similar outcome. You know, the six innings, six, seven Ks type outcome here versus the Blue Jays. And he's been good. I mean, it's not necessarily, he's very similar to Greinke in the respect that, you know, there's nothing that is standing out as like an issue. There's zero issues. His BABIP is even a little high. So maybe you even have a little bit of room for improvement here with Syndergaard's numbers. So yeah, I mean, Syndergaard and Greinke to me are just very nice, safe options. You know, the wild card is Cole, because Cole just has ridiculous numbers right now, and he has a ceiling that is kind of unparalleled with the way that he is pitching. If you want to pivot, you want somebody a little bit cheaper who still potentially is interesting, I think it has to be Alex Wood versus the Miami Marlins. The Marlins are you know, just depressing, and 20% K rate. They're not good. There's nobody in this lineup that scares you. What scares you is the way that the Dodgers will never let a pitcher go in past the fifth inning. But Wood numbers look great. 23% K rate, 11% swinging strike rate is exactly what he is last year. 3.4 Sierra. Everything is right there for him. But like I said, he has gotten into the sixth four times this year in his eight starts. So four out of the eight starts, he's gotten into the six. You're not necessarily reaching for a quality start with Alex Wood. It's a 50-50 chance. And the reality is he could get 4Ks. He could get, you know, if you get 4K, like his last outing versus Arizona, 4Ks in five innings, like that's just not going to do it. Like you can't. That's not useful to me. Like I don't want that. You know, and it's only worth 25 fantasy points. Like you're cooking, you're doing great, and then you just stop short of going into that 30 to 40 point range where Greinke or Syndergaard is going to get you. That's annoying. that's all that is. That's just obnoxious. And frankly, you'd be probably better off taking a risk with a cheaper pitcher who might have a longer leash. So Wood is interesting, but I have limited interest, but I want to talk about, cause it's a good matchup. Mike Leake might be one of those guys who's able to get a little bit more of a leash. And, you know, I mean, listen, he just went out against Toronto, did seven innings, six Ks, two earned. That's a really good line for Mike Leake, and enter the Texas Swingin' Rangers, the Swingin' Rangers, as they are fondly called. Massive strikeout rate, 27% K rate, 28th in WRC plus. Obviously not very good. Mike Leake should have a nice opportunity here to generate plenty of whiffs, even though he's not striking out that many people, but this is the kind of game where your 16% K rate looks more like, you know, a 22, 25% strikeout rate. But the numbers for Leak are fine. They're not that good. I like attacking him, but I don't. God, this goes against it. I never play Mike Leak, but here's the deal, okay? This team swings at everything. You have 28% strikeout rate. It's just they're verging on being last year's Rays. Like, any pitcher could have a nice night against them. 16% K rate, 8% swing strike rate for him. That's not good. Fly ball, 35%. Hard contact, 38%. That's not good either. Sierra at 4.8. Babbitt at 3.1. So you look at the splits, right? And you're like, all right, well, will Joey Gallo kill us? Maybe. Maybe he might. There's a 35% fly ball rate and a 35% hard contact rate for Gallo. But Mike is at home. Good pitcher's park up there in Seattle. Vegas likes him. Texas is, there's a ceiling when you're facing Texas. So I think there's something to be said for Mike Leake. And it might be no thanks. And it might be let's be aggressive. Fuck yeah, I want to get every bat in here. That would be why you play Mike Leake, because you're saying he can get me 35 on a good night, right? And that's what I want from a super cheap flyer of a pitcher. All right, now let's talk sticks here, because there are a whole lot of teams that I'm interested in attacking on this slate. It all starts in Beantown, where Daniel Mengden will pitch against the Red Sox. Now, the rain is obviously a massive issue, but let's pretend that the rain is not an issue. Mengden, the righty, getting lit by righties. Kind of a reverse splits guy, as it seems this year, which is strange. A lot of the numbers, hard contact versus righties is higher than left. But now the fly balls are coming versus lefties. So the numbers in general absolutely prove out that we could and should like Mengden, or everybody against Mengden, in this situation. Just not very good numbers to either side of the plate. Now, we've seen that the Red Sox have been excellent versus right-handers. Obviously, we want to continue to exploit that trend. They're top of the leaderboard there. They're atop the leaderboard there in WRC plus. And we look specifically at which Red Sox we would want to get. Well, breaking down Mengden's issues, it's a lot of it has to do with his fastball. His four-seamer seems to be a problem, specifically to the right side of the plate. He's going to throw it over half the time. So we just need fastball hitters. And it's a 92 mile an hour guy. It's not necessarily overwhelming. And so I'm interested in Bogarts, Betts, Moreland, JD, all those guys right up there in the top. They're all hitting the fastball very well. Benintendi, totally fine as well. His secondary pitch is a slider. Attacking the slider. Benintendi's been good against the slider this year. Hanley's been okay against the slider. JD, obviously. Moreland has been very good against the slider. So I think any combination of these clowns works well going up against against Mengden. He's not been very good, and they're implied for 5.1 runs, of course, 5.4 runs. They're at home. You got to worry about the rain though, guys. It really, and this rain is probably the worst. But let's check back. Let's see what the system is doing. I'm no meteorologist, but I know what the number 99% means. That's the concern. Of course, we can pivot a lot of that, high expensive ownership of bats over to the Indians, who were a disappointment last night, but tonight they'll get Frank Liriano. And we know Liriano, right? Liriano is not necessarily the pitcher that he once was. Looking at the splits, sorry, I lost my page there. Looking at the numbers for Liriano right now, an 18% K rate, 12% walk rate, not locating, 5.1 Sierra. Hard contact has always been low for him. He's been able to generate ground balls, but 47% is lower than his career numbers. 35% fly ball rate, higher than his career numbers. And so you got to attack Liriano here, who's just not generating that many outs. And you want to attack him. We want to attack him with the right-handers. It's the righties that are really, really getting after him. 31% hard contact rate. He's not striking them out. So we get after the righties here from the Indians, and that's not hard, guys. I mean, it's Lindor, it's Ramirez, it's E5, and Brandon Guyer. And you see what the lineup looks like. And then you pivot accordingly. And I think it's a pretty straightforward four-man stack. Pitch by pitch, when we look at what Liriano is struggling with to right-handers, it's the slider, it's the two-seamer. They're just not breaking, clearly. The numbers there, the two-seamer, well, not so much, but excuse me, the fastball and the slider, looking at these numbers, they're just not quite there. And so if we're looking for somebody to hit that slider, Jose Ramirez, Brandon Guyer. Interestingly enough, the numbers on Yan Gomes are very good versus the slider against lefty as well. Just for the purposes of the four seamer, which is down in the 90s, 91, E5 is doing good work, and Ramirez as well. So, plenty to like here, guys. Plenty to like here, no doubt about it. I think one thing to be aware of is if Lindor's numbers. I can't remember if he's better versus lefties or righties. Last year there was a pretty distinct difference, and I'm not sure if it's proving out this year that there's. Yeah, I mean, he's been very good against lefties this year. Still 445 wOBA, nice. Okay, so he's better against lefties than he is righties. So it's Lindor, Ramirez, Yan Gomes hitting well, too. He's an easy catcher play if you want to get him involved, especially if he's in that six hole. He's interesting. So Indians, very easy pivot over there, especially if you get a rain out in Boston. Let's go over to Philadelphia. Well, not in Philadelphia, in Baltimore. Another rain situation, but another offense that I want to get involved with the Phillies versus Cashner. We've seen Cashner struggling this year. K rate is up to 20%. However, the numbers on the splits still very, very bad, allowing a 558 slug, 382 wOBA to the left-handed left side of the plate, 341 wOBA allowed to the right side with a 456 slug. Obviously, we want to attack that. It's resulted in an XFIP and Sierra that are both flirting with 5, 35% hard contact to the right side of the plate. We know he's been able to generate ground balls in the past. Not this year. Fly ball rate is way up to the lefties. So we have got to attack Cashner with the lefties on this Phillies roster. No doubt about it. Now, the weather is a concern, so not fun. But if we get a good weather report, I think that I'm probably looking, obviously, I'm looking at Herrera, who has been just red hot. I'm looking at Carlos Santana, who's been playing really well. I'm looking at Hoskins and Franco. I'm looking at Hernandez as the leadoff batter. All of those guys, very interesting in play. The numbers prove out that we should get them involved. Finally, Carlos Santana is priced where he's supposed to be priced. So it's not necessarily that you're getting the same discount that you were. I think you could get Nick Williams in there too as a cheapie. Maybe he bumps up over the sixth spot over Michael Franco, but I don't know. Herrera, Santana, Hernandez, and then maybe Hoskins, maybe Nick Williams if you needed a cheapie. That would be kind of where I go. Pitch by pitch, looking at what we want to attack, how we want to attack Cashner here. The lefties, it's the two-seamer. It's the curveball. Those two pitches for him really not doing him a lot of good. Herrera, Hoskins, both guys that are going to be comfortable with that two-seamer. And then the curveball is not, that's not a pitch for Herrera, but Carlos Santana, very, very comfortable with that curveball. So you feel good about that core three guys that we were just talking about being able to find a pitch that they like. And the numbers for Santana against the two-seamer are also excellent. So you feel very good about all of these guys. Just have to get the clear for the weather. And that's going to be, I mean, that's going to be a thing for all of these slates, more or less. Okay. That's going to be all these games where on the East Coast, you're going to have to wait for weather. So it's one of those situations where you plan to be able to use them, and then you just have a backup plan, right? And the Indians provide a good backup plan for some of these more expensive bats. Another grout stack, another kind of middle of the road stack that I'm interested in here, Dodgers versus Wei-Yin Chen. Chen's been bad. I mentioned that, you know, I joked about his K to walk ratio, but I'm not kidding. It's -3. He's only striking out 10% of batters, walking 13% of Sierra, up at 6.4, hard contact at 37%, home run to fly ball ratio 25%. He has not been good, and there is really no excuse for pitching him, but here he is. The lefty will be starting here, and so we're going to see plenty of good righties versus Chen here in this situation. I have zero issue going to the classic Taylor, Kike, and even possibly Puig in this situation. If he is, well, he's not up in the five right now. Kemp in the six, interesting. Justin Turner, if he's back, who knows? We'll see. Very interesting as well. Yasmani Grandal, we know, hits lefties also. So I think all of those guys are really, really appealing. They're priced so that you can fill them in around others. Taylor 3-6, Kike Hernandez 2-4, Grandal 3-1, Justin Turner 3K flat. I mean, that's a pretty cheap stack, 1-4, if those one through four, which is what we're seeing right now. Going to be a really nice option if that is exactly what the order is, to fill in around more expensive bats, even with an expensive pitcher. So Dodgers versus Chen, you got to like it. Looking specifically at the pitches here, pulling up, let me find the right one. Yes. His off-speed stuff, not working. Slider, changeup, curveball, just not working very well for him right now. In 2017, those pitches were also a problem. Didn't have a huge sample size. Let's look back at 2016. Yeah. We don't have a huge sample size to work with Chen. I think he was injured last year, wasn't he? I'm comfortable getting after any of these guys. He's going to throw a two-seamer. He's going to throw a slider. He's going to throw a change. It looks like the slider should be the most popular that he's going to use, the most common that he's going to use. Not huge numbers for anybody on the Dodgers. Matt Kemp, Yasmani. The two-seamer, if we want to get after that, we can get out. Chris Taylor is good with the two-seamer, as well as Kike Hernandez. So, you know, those guys that we thought were good plays will end up being good plays. I think I'm okay getting away from Bellinger for the moment. He's not, his numbers versus lefties right now, not really where they need to be. So I'll wait till they get back to where they were last year. Matt Kemp, though, also hitting the fastball very well. So I would go to Matt Kemp here as another possible option. But yeah, I'm hopeful that we get the Justin Turner and the cheapies up at the top of the lineup. It'd be really nice, a way to fill in around your lineup with the, or fill in lineups with the Dodger stacks. Moving over to the there's so much information that I have to have in front of me for these baseball breakdowns, guys. Sorry, I get lost in all of my windows. Seattle versus Mike Minor. Some pivot options here, some lower owned options. Hopefully I think that Seattle possibly overlooked versus Minor after a lackluster performance last night. They get the lefty in Minor. They have been playing very well against left-handed pitching, top three in the league in WRC+. So certainly an interesting option to go up against Mike Minor, the lefty who has been struggling. A total of 12 earned runs in his last three starts. He's got a 19% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate. That's all well and good, but a 40% hard contact rate, a 4.3 Sierra for Minor right now. And it is, the splits are telling us that it is the righties that are getting to him, a 534 slug, 367 wOBA to the right-handed side of the plate. So I instantly have interest in Gene Segura, who is just an on-base machine. He's going to generate fantasy value at the top of that lineup constantly. Haniger's been slugging. Nelson Cruz, 1-2-3. Those three are very interesting. And then you get a cheap, sort of cheap, not really cheap, but Ryan Healy as well. So 1-2-3-4, power to leave the park in all four of those guys. They were a little flat last night. They're at the end of the night. You don't know the order right away. But it's Segura, Haniger, Cruz, and Healy for me that I'm interested in as a stack. Now, if we were to go pitch by pitch here, looking at Minor's numbers, it's just his four-seamer that has been a problem for him. His four-seamer and his change, he's just not generating generating any strikes with that, and people are hitting it. So you want to get somebody who's going to hit that four seamer. It's Ryan Healy and Gene Segura right now doing work against four seamer as well. So certainly feel confident here that the Mariners should be able to generate some offense in this situation versus Minor, and I think that they could potentially go overlooked. They don't have a massive total, and they were a letdown last night, so maybe 4.4 is not necessarily enough for people to jump on, but it's enough for me to be interested. Moving over, Detroit versus Josh Tomlin. Now, a lot of people are going to go to the Cleveland side of this game, but I think the Detroit side of this game is just as interesting because Tomlin has just been bad, and we talked about this. But this guy is getting absolutely destroyed by left-handers. If we had more left-handers, I'd go to him. But we also have some right-hand issues here for him. He's given up 13 home runs, 6 to the lefties, and 7 to right-handers. He's been terrible. And 40% hard contact above 40% to both sides of the plate, above a 20% home run to fly ball ratio to both sides of the plate, the fly ball rate above 40% to both sides of the plate. It doesn't matter right now. All you need is someone who can make contact with the ball against Tomlin and has a chance of leaving. So when we're looking at the Tigers, who are not particularly exciting when they're starting Mikey Matuk and Pete Cosma, you know, okay, fine. You could go to Kuzma there. He's cheap. You could go to Nico Goodrum because you're chasing the home runs. Two happened last night. Fine. You go to Leonis Martin. If he's not in the lineup because he's injured, right? Yeah, Martin and Candelario injured. So, what do? You go Matu, Cosma, Martinez. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Goodrum. Do we know any of these guys? Do we have a sample size, a split good enough for these guys? I mean, you could go with Victor Martinez. You know who he is, but he hasn't really been hitting anything this year. You could go with Hicks and McCann, but this isn't a lefty, so what do you do with that? However, that said, every single player on the Tigers priced below 3K. So a Tiger stack will not cost you anything, and there's a good chance that someone will hit the home run or a home run off of Tomlin. We look at the pitch types, okay? This is maybe you'll give us a little bit of a clue. We lean into this a little bit, what the issue has been. It's the curveball. It's the two-seamer. It's the four-seamer. For Tomlin versus the righties. So specifically, let's look for anybody who can hit the curveball. Martin and Candelario would have been great. Vic Martinez doing okay with it. Mikey Matu going okay with that. So, it's hard. I mean, you have an amazing opportunity to get after Tomlin, but you don't necessarily have, you know, a pitcher that, or excuse me, a team that you want to stack. And that's the issue. That's the issue. San Francisco versus Tyler Mahle. I think that that's a potentially interesting and overlooked spot as well. Mahle, the battle of the Tylers here. He's been fine, mediocre, you know, not great. There's some decent numbers, but the hard contact at 36%. And the splits for the young fella tell us that, you know, we could get after him with some lefties here, for sure. Hard contact up at 44% against the left side of the plate. So are there that many lefties that you want to get in your lineup in San Francisco? No, but Blanco is cheap. Brandon Belt is 3.6 and probably under-owned. Brandon Crawford, 2.9. And then maybe you mix Anna McCutcheon or a Longo, something like that, as potentially. And what you're trying to do, all you're trying to do here is get somebody that, you know, a stack that has owned at 1%. I think the Giants will possibly provide you with that. All right, let's see if we can get over to the FanDuel.com and throw together a productive lineup. All right, so this is kind of a fun little lineup. Actually, I like it. Greinke at the top. We went to a three-man Dodgers stack, Grandal, Kike, and Chris Taylor. And then I got the four-man Philly stack to build around a second baseman in Cesar Hernandez, Nick Williams, Adubel Herrera, and Rhys Hoskins. I like that. I think that's kind of fun, you know, obviously weather permitting. And then needed a utility guy to get a cheap bat. And it was Mikey Matuk. And Mikey Matuk is a potential leadoff in Detroit. Not my favorite option, but if that lineup turns over, he could definitely have a decent night. At 2,400, you're getting a leadoff bat. He's been productive and on base recently, so that's fine. Okay, that's good enough, right? That's decent. You get a couple points out of your utility guy at 2,400. You feel pretty good about that. So Greinke, Phillies, Dodgers core here, kind of fun. And obviously, if we get no Phillies, let's see what we could do here if we pivot off the Phillies. Keep that Dodgers three-man, go to the Greinke. We would need to build around a second baseman. You could go building around a second baseman here. You could Oakland, not so much. Man, second base is not fun, especially with Robbie Cano out. He's always a guy that I like to go to. Minnesota is interesting. I don't know. Well, we'll see. It might be Phillies, maybe Whit Merrifield one-offs. There's some ways that you can go here at second base. But you could easily, with that $3,500 for the outfield, you could easily get some Boston outfielders, something like that, to fill in the blanks here. A lot of ways to go on this slate, guys. Good luck in your contest. We will see you.